lightning in his hand and steel in his eyes. His trigger finger never hesitates. A lone figure in the dust, quicker than a shadow, deadlier than a storm. He lives by the bullet, where every showdown could be his last, but it never is. His legend is written in gunpowder and blood, every shot echoing through history. In a world where a heartbeat can cost you everything, he's always a step ahead of death. DJ Outlaw.
Good afternoon. It is currently 4:08. I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, better known as Navy Seaman Jacob Hart. And I have Anna in the studio with me this afternoon from Stars and Stripes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
You know, I can't complain. It's another day above ground. Also, before we get into all things Stars and Stripes, I just wanted to ask you the question of the day, which is, what musical artist or band would you pay a large amount of money to see in concert and why?
You know, this wasn't a hard question for me this week. I've actually considered this many of times, and one of the artists that I've always said that I would easily drop all my money on is Miley Cyrus.
I can't blame you there. You come in like a wrecking ball and hit that bank account hard for a good concert. Stay tuned to hear more from Anna when we come back. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella. That's the station serving you, America's best. So I'm back with Anna, and of course we have a lot of great things to talk about this afternoon. So the first one is all about things to do in Inverness. Can you tell our listeners what kind of experiences they can expect when they travel to the UK?
Yeah, so the UK is such a beautiful and gloomy place, and one of those fun places that you can always visit is Scotland, but specifically Inverness. And so Inverness, if you've never heard of it, it is the capital and the largest city in the Scottish Highlands. And I don't know, I know personally it is on my list. It's on a lot of people's lists. Visiting Scotland is such a beautiful country. I am waiting for next spring, because it is a little too cold and rainy for me right now. But we have such a fun article available for anyone that wants to read and learn more. And I think what's the most fun is that, obviously, we've all heard of the Loch Ness Monster. Loch Ness Monster is from Scotland, and that's where it's from. Nessie is at this little area in Scotland. And if it's not your cup of tea, Shakespeare's always around, and that's the home of Macbeth, and it's also the home to Outlander. I don't know about you, but Outlander has been so popular in the past couple of years, and I haven't gone into watching it yet. Have you?
Yeah, I've watched a couple episodes, and it kind of threw me for a little bit, especially I want to make sure I'm talking about the right thing, but when she goes like back in time,
yeah.
Is that right?
Right show.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to get more into it. I've heard so much good things about it.
I have too. I mean, I enjoyed the first couple episodes that I watched, but I would really like to go to Scotland just because, like, all the pictures I see, it just looks beautiful. And I know my wife wants to explore the UK while we're out here a little bit. And I think it would be neat to maybe find some evidence if the Loch Ness Monster is real.
Yeah, you got to look for it yourself. But if that's not anything that you want to be looking for, there's also some more mythical magic at a place called Clava Cairns, and that is also a burial ground, and that is in the historic battlefield of Culloden, and it is home to the 1745 Jacobite Rising, which is related to the Outlander series.
Okay, so there's a lot of history there, and on top of finding monsters like the Loch Ness, and you can go visit a burial ground too?
Yeah, but if that's not anything that you want to do, I know everyone likes to try some whiskey. It's not my cup of tea. It's definitely my husband's cup of tea. And it's something that you definitely have to visit and try when you're in Scotland. So in the heart of Inverness, you can visit the Highland Malt Whiskey Experience and try some really good Scottish whiskey, but also enjoy some company and some beautiful music. And if you want to get out of the city, make a reservation at the Glen Ord Distillery, and you can make your way there and see how the liquid gold is made.
That sounds like a good time to me. Go try out some fresh scotch over there in the Highlands.
Yeah, what better way to say that you've experienced some good old classic Scottish whiskey?
It sounds like Iverness and the UK has a lot of opportunities for a lot of fun things and some neat experiences. Stay tuned to hear more from Stars and Stripes when we come back. All right, Anna, now that we've talked about the UK and some of the pretty unique experiences, tell me a little about the hidden charm of Bulgaria.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people look at Eastern European cities like Budapest and Bucharest and even Dubrovnik. But, you know, one of those other fun cities that you can be visiting is Sofia, Bulgaria. And it's not to say that you shouldn't visit the previous cities, because I totally would recommend at least Budapest. Personally, I've done Budapest. Did it last November, regardless of the weather, because it was snowing and it was rainy. It was cold. Beautiful city. So I have this little spot in my heart for Eastern European cities. So I feel like personally, Sofia would probably be up there as well. I have had a friend visit and she and her husband both loved the city. And so I think that it is definitely one of those cities that most people don't think about until they're here, because, I mean, at least for me, being from the States and looking at places to visit, you're like, oh, I want to visit Rome, I want to visit the UK, I want to visit Scotland. You think of all like the, not basic, but like the basic tourist cities that everyone goes to visit. But once you've been here and you do those spots, you're like, okay, now what? What do I do now? Sofia is going to be one of those places. And just another tidbit, it is cheap. So that is a wonderful reason to visit this beautiful country. But going backwards, Sofia has a lot of history, which also gives the city its own little unique view of how the buildings all look. So a lot of the city is built from Soviet era high-rise buildings, so it's kind of a little bleak, a little gray. But in between all of that, due to the history, there are some beautiful Roman ruins, some beautiful cathedrals, and some beautiful mosques. And they even have some Russian-styled structures that still exist there. And so if that sounds fun, maybe consider visiting. It is another place that is full of history. I know a lot of people like visiting cities for history. One of them, being my husband, visited Budapest and Vienna for World War II history. Bulgaria is another place that you could totally visit and get so much good stuff from it. Everyone's favorite empire, the Roman Empire. They have some beautiful artifacts that are in the Bulgarian Archaeological Museum. And so if you ever want to see some stuff from the Roman Empire, maybe visit the museum there. They also have a National Museum for Natural History, and you can actually look more into learning about Bulgaria and what they used to offer. But going back to how, you know, they used to be Soviet era and all that stuff, they have some communist stuff too. So they actually have a full-on museum of socialist art, and so you can actually visit and see some old communist propaganda machines.
Wow, that is a lot of really cool things you experience. I can't endorse the communism bit, but that'd be really cool
it's
to go.
It's fascinating to see and like learn about, since, you know, we're not fans of communism, but it is an interesting thing to, you know, read and learn about, so you don't, you know, go,
I mean,
back.
Yeah, it sounds like
stuff.
Bulgaria is like a super historical cultural area. It's got a lot of mixed history with the Romans, you said some Russians, and all sorts of different things. With those museums, what did you get to experience? Did you go to the museums or did you just kind of check out the mountains?
So I haven't personally been to Bulgaria. I know my friends actually went hiking in Bulgaria, and so they saw the beautiful mountains. They've done it all. They even talked highly of the local cuisine, and they said that if you ever want to go, that they would totally recommend it. Honestly, for me, for most of the Eastern European countries, I would totally recommend doing like a walking tour. So we did a walking tour in Budapest, and it was phenomenal. You learn so much more about the countries that you obviously would never know, because as Americans, our history is very American-centric. And it honestly is so fascinating learning about other countries, their histories, but also indulging in local cuisine is one of my favorite things to do when traveling. You get to find some amazing food. And it doesn't even have to be like the local cuisine. I have had some really good Indian food, I think it was in Budapest, and some like amazing Mexican food in other places that, me being from Southern California, I miss good Mexican food. So I will always try a Mexican food everywhere we travel.
I second that. I miss it. Spanish rice, some good beans.
Oh, yeah. I miss some good carne asada. I miss some enchiladas. I miss spicy food. That is the one thing that Eastern European, they don't do, at least from every place that we've tried. We went to a sushi place, and my husband loves spicy food. And we tried ordering the spicy edamame, and the waitress looked at us like we were crazy and said that it was going to be too spicy for us, and she didn't want us to ruin our meal. It was not spicy. We had it on the side. She had the spices on the side and said, you can control it. It wasn't spicy.
That is so funny. I'm from the Southwest, so I like a little bit of heat with my food as well. And I'm just, anything talking about cultural food is definitely the way to my heart. And I would love to go visit Bulgaria for all the cool exhibits, learn about some history over in Eastern Europe, and just check it out.
Yeah, Sofia has some great stuff. They have some Mediterranean stuff. They have some peppers because Hungarian and Bulgarians love their peppers and their tomatoes. So you'll have such a great time in Sofia. And if you want to learn more about Sofia, you can check out the article on europe.stripes.com.
Stay tuned to hear more from Stars and Stripes and travel when we return. All right, Anna, we've talked a lot about great things to do when it comes to traveling. And I know that we have one more amazing place to discuss, which is a little closer to home, which is Rome. We are shifting topics a little bit and talking about parakeets. So I'm super intrigued to know more about the parakeets of Rome.
Yeah, so I think this is such a funny and different little segment that we're doing. Usually we're talking about, you know, why you should be visiting a city, what you can be seeing and all that stuff. But today we're talking about parakeets, and I'm sure anyone that's listening is wondering, why are you talking about parakeets and why are they in Rome? I don't think anyone actually knows why they're in Rome, and it is a mystery, but there are actually two invasive species of parakeets that will be hidden around the city, and they kind of just hang out on the local landmarks. And tourists and Romans alike, they enjoy the birds, but the presence of the birds are there, it's definitely a controversial thing. In the eyes of the experts of biodiversity, and I get it, they are saying that they compete with, you know, local woodpeckers and the seagulls that live in the city, but you can't actually find any damage from these parakeets. And I mean, I don't know, I think seeing some random green parakeets in the city of Rome would probably, I would laugh and be like, why are they here? But you know, they're there and you should enjoy them. But I'm going to assume that everyone knows what Rome is and why you should be visiting, and so we're not going to go into why you should be visiting Rome, but the parakeets are there for your amusement and for your enjoyment. And a little bit of history of these parakeets is that they were noticed in the 1970s, and everyone kind of assumes that they were owned by a specific owner, and that they were either released or they escaped from said person, and since then they've actually breeded, and there are colonies of these parakeets. And they're these beautiful bright green, and they're all over the top sites in Rome. I haven't seen them. I've been to Rome a couple of times, honestly, in just this year. I've never seen them, never knew about them. Now I want to go back just to look for them, because I think that's so funny.
So you're telling me that all these flocks of parakeets, they're an invasive species that are coming in and like hurting the natural wildlife?
Yeah, they're taking over. And I think it's people are enjoying them. And I think some people are like, no, this is not great for us. But I mean, they're just little green parakeets.
Are parakeets like parrots where they can talk and mimic sounds?
I don't think so. I think parakeets are just smaller and they don't have... Parrots have like the long tails and stuff. I don't think parakeets have that. I think they're just a small, cute version of them. Maybe they talk. I don't know that, but I just imagine seeing a bright green bird on like the Colosseum, and everyone be like, "Why is that there?" So yeah, it is an invasive species and that you may have never known unless you were listening or you read this article.
That's so funny. And so I'm assuming it's some guy just released his pets.
Yeah. So they don't know. They don't know where they came from. They don't know who it was, but it was, they assume, somebody that owned these couple of birds. Or they just let them be, and those couple of birds made themselves a family, and now they're everywhere in Rome. So maybe if you ever go back to Rome, or if you haven't been, maybe look for them. And this article stemmed from somebody taking a photo, and they submitted it to our content team. So if you ever have a fun photo, you can always just send it to our content team. And maybe we'll write an article about it.
Okay, well, when in Rome, look for the parakeets.
Yeah.
I can just picture, like, say, if parakeets did talk like parrots, flying overhead and just hearing 100 green birds going, chow, chow, chow.
Oh, that would be so funny and I think terrifying, almost.
It would be a little intimidating, I'm not going to lie. All right, stay tuned to hear more from Anna when we come up next. So I'm back with Anna, and it's been a great hour talking about all things Stars and Stripes. Before you leave today, I wanted to ask you if you have anything else that you'd like our listeners to know.
Yeah, so if you ever want to look for travel inspiration, we're always available. You can always check us out on europe.stripes.com. But if anything digital is not your cup of tea, we always have the physical Stripes Europe magazine, which is all for your travels, located right here at the commissary and the food court.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Anna, and I hope you have an amazing day.
Of course, thanks for always having me. It's always a blast.
Stay tuned, because up next is your news and sports, followed by some more of the Afternoon Alibi. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella.